Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. Today's guest is a woman you may know well. She's an author with several books to her credit, and I'm going to let you talk about those a little bit.
Okay.
And she is now starting a whole movement, and I'm not even going to say any more because I'm going to let you do it, Barbara Rosebrooker.
Thank you, Janet. Okay. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Thank you. I'm happy you're here. I just want to say, just for my own sake, because I want to say this out loud, Barbara and I met probably over 50 years ago. Yeah, she's nodding. But this has to do with the movement you're starting anyway. People
yes.
should know this. And she was the most beautiful young girl, young woman, and still is. And that has to do with...
Thank you.
That has to do with what we're going to talk about today, isn't it?
Thank you, Jen.
Growing older.
Yes. And the movement I started, I won't even go into the books, the movement is Age March, A-G-E March.
Okay, and what prompted you to do this?
What prompted me to do it is one day I was on the bus and they gave me a seat and I was only in my 60s.
Oh, and then somebody stood up and gave you your
seat? Gave me a seat. And then in my 70s, I was always called sweetie and dear. And then when I tried to get more jobs, very quietly, you're at an age we can't hire you. And I thought, I had a dream one night. And the dream was that everybody was marching, holding up signs with their real number, their real age, no lies.
Uh-huh.
And I woke up and I thought, that's it. It was a calling. I mean, I'm not anyone special, but it was a calling. And I thought, I'm going to do an age march, age pride, and I wanted to go global.
I have a question before you go any farther in this. When you said somebody gave you a seat on a bus,
mm-hmm.
how did that make you feel? What did you do?
Oh, well, I was glad for the seat. Don't misunderstand me, but it was kind of the attitude,
yes.
the dearies, the sweeties, the
condescension.
The condescension
yes.
that I started to notice.
Uh-huh.
And then I started to talk
treating you as if you're helpless.
And invisible.
Oh,
invisible.
That's a bad combination.
At the same time. Yeah. And I mean, even as an author, you can be 110 and write your bestseller at home and no one will know your age.
Right.
But when you get out there, they know your age and you really feel it when you go on TV, because I've done a lot of national TV. They've told me on the Today Show, they said, don't tell your age.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. You know, things like that.
That's kind of shocking in this day and age.
It is. I mean, they say
that, you know, that real age thing with your dream where everybody had a sign with their real age. When I turned 70, should you want to keep these things private, my granddaughter was over and she was like 3. And she saw a postcard that had the number 70 on it, some store 70 at the end. And right in front of everybody, she picks this up and she says, oh, look, Mima, 70, exactly like you, exactly your age, just like this, 70 the same. And she was going, she thought it was just delightful.
See, that's a wonderful story.
So that does fit in.
That fits in with exactly the whole premise of the age march.
And I mean, I think in today's society, we don't call that a dream. We call that a nightmare. And you're going to change that, right?
I'm going to change that to something wonderful. For
I'm 70
all
and I know more than you do.
I'm 70 and I have goals and I'm living the goals and I have new dreams and new goals.
Oh, good point. Yes. So
it's
not just the accumulated experience and knowledge. You're forging it, uh-huh.
You forge ahead with new
goals.
But, you
know, you see that a lot. I have friends in their 60s who have been elected to office and 70s who have started new careers.
Exactly.
You do see that for women actually more than you do for men, I believe.
More than you do for men. This is true. But there's the attitude out there. It's the attitude when it comes to dating.
Oh, talk about that.
Oh, my God. Okay, since I'm going to be 80 in August, that big fatal number. The minute you say 80, it's like, good for you.
Uh-huh.
Or you look good for 80.
I love that one. Oh, you look great for 80.
What's with the 4? Can't you just look good whether you're 100
right.
or 40
right. oh,
or
that's
whatever?
So irritating, yeah.
It's so irritating. So.
Or they call you 80 years young at your birthday.
Oh, exactly.
Oh, there's so many people crossing off my list.
Me too. I've crossed off more people. And when the dating, okay, there's no way.
No way.
I mean, I hate that you can date. I'm just saying. First of all, you can't go online, because if you put in your real age number, the men who are 101 and say they're 90 mm-hmm. want 40-year-olds.
Yes.
You know, so there's no, because the number has a bad rap.
You know, I never understood that, men who are 90 and want 40-year-olds.
Yeah.
It makes them feel young somehow. But why don't they see that standing next to a 40-year-old, it makes them look older?
And again, Janet, I think it's okay to be with a 40-year-old.
Yeah, I do too.
See, the point yeah. is the age should not
matter. No, but if they demand it for its own sake. That's,
for its yes. own sake. Yeah. Or the Viagra generation, as I call it. A lot of these men think that Viagra has rejuvenated them as males. And really, I don't think that the sex has anything to do with it. I think it's how you think, your attitude. But whether I want to be with a 50-year-old man or a man wants to be with a 30-year-old, fine.
Yes.
It's a matter of personal connection.
Right.
So
right.
that's the thing with the age march. It's age pride for all ages, all genders, all sexualities, all races.
And you're talking about age on the older end of it.
Yes.
But I have a thought. When I knew a six-year-old who had been in Barcelona with her parents, and when asked what she did, she, you know, did she like it and what did she like best about Barcelona, and she talked about the sidewalks and the artwork and that she could walk into a bar.
Oh, at six?
Yes.
And not be stopped little girl.
Well, she didn't want to walk into a bar. She had no interest. But she liked that she could, if she wanted to, mm-hmm. that you didn't have to be a certain age.
That's
so on the other end, too.
It's the whole thing. At my first age march, I had many 25-year-olds.
Okay, so talk about your first one. When was it?
Okay,
what was
the
that
first
like?
One was 2011. And this is a grassroots experience, by the way. I mean, it's like a Loving Hands at Home. But 400 people showed up at the first one.
And where
Fort
was it?
Mason, Fort,
oh, Fort Mason,
Mason around
San
the
Francisco.
Water, San
okay.
Francisco. Took a lot of work. But there were 96-year-old holding up signs. Mickey
right.
Mouse is 100, and I'm only 96. There were dogs with their plaques on. I'm 12, and I'm still running.
Oh,
you
my
know,
goodness,
it was
yes.
so adorable. 400 people showed up. The press showed up. The vans came. I don't know how they got wind of it, but they filmed it, mm-hmm. and it was on every major channel for a long time. And I think the premise is still fresh, but it's going to take, like any movement, it's an evolution.
Mm-hmm.
It's an evolution. So, okay, so there were 25-year-olds, and I said, why are you here? Because in the workplace, they're already talking about when we're 30, they're going to bring in younger people.
Ooh.
We're afraid of losing our jobs. And you know what was interesting? They said the same things that I said.
What was that?
When they go online, they lie about their age at 25. It's all, you see, it doesn't matter how old you are, from 1 to 150. It's the attitude.
That is very odd, isn't it?
It is very odd. The numbers. The numbers get a bad rap, and I'd love to see legislation someday where numbers don't count. Numbers are not allowed.
Well, you can't discriminate by age, can you?
Yes, you can.
Oh, you can?
They do it in a very, very...
But technically, it's one of those discriminations.
You're not supposed
that,
uh-huh. to, but yet seriously, on the Today Show, I mean, Kathy Lee is a very nice woman. I don't want to give her a bad rap, but she did say to me, don't say your age. Lie about your age. And I said my real age. And I was 75 then,
yeah.
5 years ago. And at the end, she said, didn't your tongue curl up when you said the number 75? She said, didn't it make you sick? I said, no.
Oh, my God. She actually said that?
She actually
oh, that's
said
terrible.
That. I said, no, what's the alternative? You know, what's the alternative? I mean, we might be living to 150.
But
so
she wouldn't ask if you let some other piece of your information out, like your heritage.
Right,
and
right.
Nobody would say, doesn't that make you sick?
Right.
That's disgusting.
That's a good
That's
point,
a horrible.
Janet. What you're saying is actually right. And then Christina Ferrara, she has she's the chef, that beautiful woman. She's 66. She just got fired from the Oprah Channel, the Family Style Channel.
Yeah.
She had that big show, and they said to her, "You're too old." So she's all over Facebook right now.
But I think you can sue for that.
They don't, though.
Okay, so how old is Oprah?
Oprah's got to be in her late 60s. But it wasn't Oprah who fired her.
No, but it was the Oprah Channel, you say.
It was the Oprah Channel.
This is really shocking. I was not aware of all this.
It's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. And we're actually in a business where you can get by a little more because you can write and have shows at various ages, but try to be an executive or try to go in a different way with the number and you're ostracized. It's just like, and I'll just say one more thing, with my last book, The Viagra Diaries, I had this fabulous, as you know, option. And they had Goldie Hawn to play Annie Applebaum. And Darren Star, who wrote Sex and the City, wrote the script. And Paul Feig, who did Bridesmaids. I was so excited. But Darren Star, and I don't mind saying it, made my 70-year-old Annie Applebaum 51 with blonde layered hair, big boobs, and a decorator. Needless to say, the script was sickening, horrible, stupid. He would not change it. He had a big fight with Goldie, and she didn't want to play the grandmother, and this and that, and HBO canned the whole thing. Now it's with another...
By the way, better canned than ruined.
Well, I think it was ruined, too.
Now, no, but I'm saying you don't want to see it in some...
Oh, no, you're right. Now it's with another producer, and I just got the script... by a woman who's supposed to be fabulous. Guess what, Janet?
What?
Worse.
No.
This woman makes her, from 65, she now is 58, and she is a real estate developer who lives with an 87-year-old mother. So I called the producer last Friday, and I said, I can't accept it. I don't think she read the book. Annie has to have Medicare. And she is quirky, and she never gives up. There is no age.
By the way, being in an age where you have to have Medicare, or you do have Medicare, is a whole world of the best comedy of all, even trying to get them on the phone.
Well, see, there you go.
Oh,
I
my
wish
goodness.
You could write the script.
I do, too.
I'm not kidding.
I mean, anybody who has ever tried to call Medicare and get a hold of or any government agency.
I've been there. I know. So the producer says to me last Friday, he said, well, Barbara, you're going to have to fly down and talk with her. I can't let her know this right now. We can't lose her. So I have to go down. I have to go down there and meet Sally Robinson and tell her that I can't have this character. It's not my book. So
no.
So the thing is, to me, Age March means more to me right now.
Yes.
Than although writing's a part of my life, than anything, because it is racism. It's age racism. Don't you agree on that?
Oh, it's definitely age discrimination, but I didn't realize it was that shocking that they would take a character and make her into something she wasn't.
Oh yeah. All the time. And I had heard that, but I didn't believe it. You always think yours is going to be...
And that's because Goldie Hawn didn't want to play an old...
Well, Goldie Hawn didn't want to play older. That was the whole thing. So
oh,
then,
where's Betty Davis when you need her?
Oh, I love her.
She
so
was so
much.
Willing to play absolutely
anywhere. Or Helen Mirren, you know, some of the really great ones.
Yeah.
But it's not the stars. It's the executives.
Sure.
It's the networks.
You know, they're afraid, I'll tell you, they're afraid of not appealing to a wide enough target audience.
I know.
I wrote something once, and
I know.
The main character was an old woman with, Alzheimer's. And one publisher said, I love this, but I can't do it because my target audience are women between the ages of 18 and 45. And I wanted to say, why don't you...
Oh, my God.
Excuse
between
me.
18 and 45.
Why
usually it's between 18 and 25. And
oh, you're saying I got a good one. Well, the thing is, I think it should come with a note to all these 18 to 45-year-olds that if you're lucky, you're going to hit 90, and you're going to be this woman.
See, the
possibly.
Thing is, you just said hit 90. Mm-hmm. How lucky
yes.
are we who are living the life. And life should be lived every day for the moments and the beauty. I don't want to live in the past. I don't want to repeat the same things. Though we all have routines, that's a different issue. But I want to do new things.
Right.
And I don't want to be told I'm too old to do them. See, that's the whole thing.
But, you know, the way you were describing the reaction on the bus and being offered a seat, it's not just what we said. I think it's beyond that. It's you're being tolerated.
Tolerated.
That is awful.
It's kind of like moved to
yes.
the right. Or the airport, when you go through the thing, well, if you're 75, you don't have to remove your shoes.
I know, like that, like the terrorists can't find some disgruntled 78-year-old. Well, I went through the last time, by the way, and I did. I just didn't want to take my shoes off on that filthy floor, and
yeah,
I don't
yeah,
like it anyway.
It's awful, sticky.
And they had just passed this 75. I pushed it a little, and I went up to the guy, and I said, look, I understand if I'm 75, I don't have to take my shoes off, right? And he said, that's right. And I said, well, I'm so close.
Oh, my God.
Can we just let me keep my shoes on? And he said, no, you have to take them off if you're not 75. I said, but I'm close to 75. I'm close. So then I said, well, what if it were just the day before my 75th birthday? Would you let me keep my shoes on? And he said, well, sure. I said, well, what if it were 2 days before my 75th birthday?
Yeah,
would you?
Yeah.
I mean, finally, he got so tired of me that he said, okay, keep your shoes on. And he let me go by and he laughed.
Isn't it just...
But yeah, there's another ridiculous age limit.
Well, you know what that's called? Age segregation, I think. Don't you think it's like age segregation? We're pushing those to the right, those to the left. There's these little compartmentalized groups.
Right, and what if you don't want to sit with all the other people who are over... I know, it's nuts.
I mean, I am aware, Janet, that there are people in their 70s and 80s who aren't fortunate enough... they have dementia and they have, you know, I'm often yelled at for that. Well, what about those who are in nursing homes and they can't go out and form a nonprofit and do all these things you're doing? But I say they still have a soul, they still have a mind, and they should not be treated as vegetables.
Right.
That's the whole thing. We don't know what they're seeing or thinking.
Oh, for certain we don't. That's right.
We really don't.
No.
So, again, age is very important.
You know, you. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I've had a couple of instances where I have been around older people who are in the process of dying.
I have.
And supposedly comatose, mm-hmm. supposedly in a coma.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they know what's going on.
They do.
You know, when my husband's mother was in her last breath, really, and he flew to Michigan to be with her,
mm-hmm.
and she hadn't spoken she was not speaking, and she was lying in the hospital bed, and he went and took her hand, and he said, I'm here, it's me, Ted, and she, just one tear slipped down her cheek.
She knew. They hear everything. They still can feel.
So
they
bunch of levels, we cannot assume from what people look like that they're lacking in understanding.
Exactly.
Or
exactly.
any kind of desire.
Or the way they're
yeah.
treated some of
so
them.
what will the goal of this be? What do you want from this?
The goal of Age March, first of all, is I am praying and hoping to God, who is ageless, I am hoping and praying that somebody will come in and say, I love Age March. We're going to take it over.
Oh,
and
make it national.
We're going to make it national. It's going to be a part of San Francisco, and every year they're going to join with Gay Pride.
I was going to say, so like Pride or St. Patrick's Day
exactly.
or anything that's
exactly.
regular.
And I am
a regular part of life.
A regular part of life. So, and it can open up vistas that I'm not even aware of. So I am now in touch with Barbara Boxer and Nancy Pelosi. And, you know, it's amazing because who am I? I mean, I went cold and found these things. They're responding to Age March. These are women who are in their 60s and 70s.
Right.
And Dianne Feinstein, I'm going to contact
right.
next.
Yes.
Senator Mark Leno
uh-huh.
is going to speak. And I contacted the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Do you know who they are? I love them. Jen.
Well, tell me who they are. I know there's...
Okay.
Oh.
They're a group. And they wear these black flowing nuns outfits.
Oh, but they're not
roller skates.
They're not actual nuns.
No.
Oh.
It's a gay group. They're at Age Pride every year. And they're for human justice.
Sorry, sisters, that I didn't know that about you.
Oh, I know. It's okay. They're for human justice. So they're at all kinds of events, and they've become very nationally famous. So I contacted the sisters, and I said, would you be at this little march? And I didn't think I'd get them back. And one of the sisters said, we think that ageism is extremely important, not only in the gay community, but the heterosexual community, the African-American community.
Well,
everywhere. So I'm trying to do outreach right now, which is hard.
But are you hoping that will eventually affect hiring practices?
Yes.
Or I mean, where
yes.
do we get
a
to
legislation,
the...
I'm hoping it's going to affect, like, if you have a 90-year-old person who is sharp and lucid.
Yes, I have many of them.
And I do, too. They could be hired.
Right.
At any firm, any job, that the age will not be an issue. Insurance. There's so much with legislation that I don't.
What happens with insurance?
Well, I'm just thinking off the cuff right now.
You think people would be happy to insure you when you're really old?
Yeah, but they won't. See, the thing is, there's so many.
Oh, for different things, like for a drug. Oh, I see what you mean. So for car insurance, they're afraid you'll have an accident
exactly.
because you're old.
Exactly.
Yeah, my mother drove till she was 93, and she's brilliant at it. Yeah.
See? I mean, there's so many more ways to go that I'm hoping when I form the nonprofit that maybe people will come into it and bring it forward. Because I'm only the founder. I don't want to have to
maintain.
Mm-hmm. It's getting bigger. So I think that age is just very, very important. And by the way, I'm glad I'm the age I'm at. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no dating or romance, but...
By the way, okay,
yes.
May I interrupt you here,
yes.
darling?
Yes.
Because I know women who are beyond 80, and they're dating, and
I know.
Oh, and I have a couple of friends who got married when they were close.
Too.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's a matter of.
So you just haven't had the right person. You haven't found the right person. If you want
I'm
one,
I'm not even looking.
Right.
I mean, whatever's to be is to be, and I'm happy without it.
There are two men in our community, by the way, who were dating younger women and dating younger women. Each of them, one of them said to me, "I hadn't seen him in a while." And I knew he was dating these very young women and talking about, you know, having another baby.
Oh,
and
my God.
I know. Well, he felt, you know, really good.
I think it's great, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I hadn't seen him in about 6 months. Uh-huh. And we talked. He said, "I got married." I said, "Good for you.
Oh.
Who did you marry?" He said, "I married a woman of my generation, and I have never been happier."
It's interesting how people meet.
Right.
So my point is the reason I mentioned it is I hear it all the time from my male friends and my girlfriends.
Oh, so what do you hear from your male friends?
What I hear from the male friends is a lot of the women my age, women your age, they say terrible things. They say, like, I have to hear about their flat feet or their high blood pressure.
Well, then they shouldn't be doing that.
Exactly. Or they just want my money.
I mean, I wouldn't want to hear about that.
No, I wouldn't either. So these are individual
bad habits.
Sort of bad habits.
Yes.
Yes. But I think that age until you take your last breath, well, I shouldn't even say age because it's not age. You're living.
What you want to say, I think, is that you, until your last breath.
I'm no age. I'm living.
Right.
I'm living.
Yes.
And everyone should feel that way. Like love letters lie.
Yes.
It's your living lie.
Well, I thought you were going to say something else when you were talking about the men. Because men also have issues about, are they attractive enough and how they're going to be perceived by a woman. And do you know who Catherine Forsyth is? And Joan Price?
I should probably.
Oh, definitely you should.
Tell
well,
me.
They're both sex educators and encouragers.
Oh.
I don't know what the real title.
Oh.
Joan Price has a book called Naked at Our Age.
I want to read that.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
And it's about sex over 65 when people are thinking that people over 65 don't...
Are done.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Are done. That's well said.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
what goes on in some of the residence homes, you know,
I know that.
Yes, and but the shocking thing is that people are finding each other in their 80s and they're slipping off to one of their rooms and being together. And there has been so much shock and outrage, but as if having sex at 80 is somehow icky.
Oh, my God.
Well, having sex at 30 is delicious.
Oh, my God. It could be just the opposite.
What's such a nerve?
And how can you put a number on sex?
But it's not
age?
Those people's position to judge. I mean, it's just so
it's
bizarre.
Really not.
Okay, that's a whole other topic.
You know, that's really
And Catherine Forsyth had groups of people, really interesting, groups of people who were in their, I don't know, maybe 60s and beyond, who weren't doing so well sexually because of their own perceptions of their own whatever,
their
own attractiveness.
You know,
and
I hear women say that.
Yes.
Can't get undressed. They'll see my this and my that. I'm not,
right.
I don't have the young body anymore.
Right.
And I said, neither does he, and who cares?
Well, even for people
even
who
care.
By the way, for people who care, you don't have to get totally undressed. If that's an issue,
that's
they
right.
make some
you,
lovely.
You can do the pink lampshade, yeah, like blanched
bra. Exactly. I know. But, you know, but people are nervous as they get older about so many things.
You just hit something, too.
What?
They're nervous
yes.
as they get older because age hangs over them. How many times...
Oh, so they've absorbed that from society.
They've internalized
yes.
it. Yes. See, this is a bad thing. How many times do I hear from people, well, these are the golden years.
Oh, yes.
These are the golden years, and you're on the last part. Do you have your will made? Do you have your... How are you going to be buried? Are you going to be queen? These are all issues that are important for
and
all
And they might
of
be
us.
Kind of fun to talk about.
And they might be...
Yes.
That's right. But it just seems
right.
to have a negative connotation instead of a positive. And there's...
And also, you know, sexy is a matter of how you strut down the street.
Oh. Absolutely.
Sexy is strut.
I don't really like to give...
You see people kind of cowering and shriveling, and yeah,
oh,
that's
yeah,
right. That's
people.
A problem,
this,
but yeah, yeah. Fine. Go ahead.
I don't want to give kudos to anything of my books because I always say the
please
public,
do.
But no, the public decides if they like a book.
Okay, so what
but
has the public decided?
That's coming out. The new one that's coming out, and I'm having a book signing at the Commonwealth Club October 21st, is called "There's Something Wrong with All of Them." And it really is about a woman in her 70s who is writing about love after 60
mm-hmm.
and who really wants love after 60. And a lot of people might say, oh, she hates men because some of them, you know, I have the hoarder in there, the one who dies choking at dinner. I mean, it's funny. Mm-hmm. But I also have the other in there, too, where she finds out there's something wrong with her
mm-hmm.
because she thinks there's something wrong with
Well,
all
and you're
them.
And you're touching on something, by the way. For
mm-hmm.
I've noticed that women who are dating at any stage of life,
uh-huh.
I mean, whether they're 87 or 17,
uh-huh.
I've noticed that they have something wonderful in common, and that is they make the men feel welcome. They make people feel
that's
emotionally
really,
and sexually welcome.
That's really
isn't that true when you think about it?
And true.
Uh huh.
There, I think there's more of a.
It's an openness.
Open connection, like we're here. This is great.
Yeah.
You know, here I am, and here you are. Aren't we lucky? There's more of. of that than when we're really young and you're much more God. It's just different.
Life is complicated. Well, I'm
yeah.
so glad you're doing this and talking about this. Why don't you, if you want to,
mm-hmm.
and don't if you don't want to,
mm-hmm.
just mention some of your book titles. People might want to go find them.
Thank you.
And then tell us how people can be part of this age march.
Yes, thank you. I'll just tell you a couple titles.
And these are all kind of...
These are all books that are available.
But they're all also books you're speaking from your own life experience.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
Oh, listen, they ask me all the time, is it true? Yes, it's true and more. I tell everything. There's no fiction in my life.
Okay, good.
Okay. Okay, The Viagra Diaries is available. That's the one that now is optioned again for another TV series. Could happen while I'm alive. I don't know. The sequel to it is called To Be Continued, and that's on Amazon. God Doesn't Make Trash is my favorite book and my most important book, and that's about... the Holocaust in 82 in San Francisco, the AIDS Holocaust.
Oh.
And that also is optioned. And then the new book, there's other books on Amazon under my name, Barbara Rosebrooker. You'll see all my 11 books. But
okay.
then the new one, There's Something Wrong with All of Them, will be out in late
September. I like your titles a lot, of course. Now, how do people join in on this age march? Find out about it if they're across the country and they still want to know about it.
Oh, yes, yes. The website, agemarch.com, is under construction.
Okay.
Should be up in a couple of weeks. Also, watch for it on boomerhottie.com and Facebook. It will be announced on Facebook, and all the social networking will be blasting it.
Okay.
And for those in San Francisco, please come on December 4th at noon. And this isn't going to be...
And this is on Chestnut Street?
Union Street.
Union Street.
It's going to
Union,
okay. Starting at Golf, mm-hmm. I think, and ending on Fillmore.
Lovely.
It's going to be celebratory. We're handing out beads and crowns, and we're going to have music, and it's not a downtime.
And what time does it start?
Noon.
Okay.
And it's going to be very festive because it's all decorated for Christmas, mm-hmm. also. Mm. And we're going to have a few celebrities there. Maybe we'll even have Janet Galen.
I'd love to be there.
Galen, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
That's okay. No, Galen,
no,
that's
really,
right. Yes.
I would love for you to speak there.
I'd love to. I have one more question for you. Well, I have a lot more questions for you, but over time. But for today, when did you know that you had the power to do all this? When did you know that you were going to write books that people paid attention? Because when I met you, you were, so I was 18, so like you were in your early
20s. Oh, yeah.
And what did you know about yourself then?
A piece of fluff.
A piece of fluff.
I knew nothing then.
In a word.
Diversity has been my blessing. I should say adversities. I'm sorry, I just got tongue-tied.
Yes.
Adversities have been my blessings.
You learn through each one?
At 20, I married the so-called man of my dreams. You know, I was a virgin then, like a lot of Jewish women were. And on the wedding
night... A lot
night,
of every woman.
On the wedding night, he told me he made a mistake and he took me home. That was my first... I was very immature, so I married on a rebound to a man I didn't love, but I have two wonderful daughters, moved to the suburbs. And in the suburbs, I was very, very unhappy. I knew that I wanted to go to college. I wanted to get degrees and write.
Oh, you hadn't done that yet.
No.
You went right from mommy's house to misery.
Exactly. Ah. So I went back to college when I was 31, and then I went to grad school. Then I got my MFA, and then my teaching.
So you're
college.
On the road.
Yeah,
okay,
I went
later.
On the road late. And so it's been a long road with my foot in a very different place than I was supposed to be. So all of those, and I was emotionally stupid. I mean, I was very backward. You know, how you present yourself and how you feel was very two different things.
Sure.
Yeah. So
that was a very 50s problem.
Oh, yes. Oh, very much so.
50s, the killer decade.
The killer decade.
Yeah.
And
strangle you to death.
The women's movement. I really wanted to be with them, but I didn't think I was supposed to or know how. So I was lucky, Janet, in that I found my...
Really?
My road,
yes.
So to speak.
Yes, because except from being beautiful, you're like very much nothing like you were when you were 20.
Well, thank you for the compliment, but
when I met
hope
you.
I'm not anything like I was at
no,
20.
I mean, excuse me, who is really? But, okay. And I did have one other question, but
yes.
Now I've forgotten it. Oh, no, I didn't. If you were to write, because this is what I'm about here, if you were to write a love letter mm-hmm. right now, mm-hmm. to whom would it be? Now, I'm going to hope that I can give you a homework assignment, because you are a writer after all. What's more,
yes,
one more or less thing
assignment.
To do? Who are you going to write a letter to?
Well, since I was just talking about adversities, I would like to write a letter to each adversity.
Oh, how wonderful.
And say, thank them. And say goodbye to them because I've gone through all the regrets.
I have a question about
yes.
love letters writing, love letter writing. I believe that a good love letter is filled with specifics.
Yes.
Now, of course, your books are filled with specifics, so you're not stranger to that.
This is, yeah.
So each adversity, will you
outline.
Specify
yes.
what it was, how it affected you,
yes.
and how it didn't matter after all because it educated you?
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay.
I can't wait.
My mother used to say about every mistake that we'd make, she'd say, oh, it's just a mistake. Consider every mistake. Every mistake is another semester at Harvard.
She's right.
Yeah, of course she is.
But don't you have friends? I have wonderful
friends. Mistakes are your best friends.
Who are crying all the time about things in the past, and I keep saying to them, face them. Face how you felt.
Give yourself a nice thank you for...
Exactly, and move on.
Right.
They stay there.
Well, why do they stay there? They're comfortable there for some reason. They're familiar with it.
They're familiar.
And they're not familiar with breaking free.
They're afraid.
Because breaking free can be scary, you know, I guess.
They're afraid.
Yeah.
And that's why I think the age march is
yes.
breaking free, don't you think? I mean, come on, 90-year-olds and 100 years old. I'll just say one thing. I did have the lady who was 96, and then Channel 2 showed up and interviewed her. She had higher shoes. I wear my Skechers because
yes.
I don't want
yes.
to fall.
Right.
She had like a heel
yes.
on her shoe, and she had a big glittery hat, and she was so adorable.
Well, there is something about the presumption of treating people. I was, where was I that somebody offered to, we were someplace in a restaurant, and this very sweet waitress looks at my husband, who's older than I am, and she looks at him and she says, "You want me to cut your meat, Papa?"
Oh.
I know. Are you going to throw up? Wait, don't. So I, thank God he was concentrating on something else and he did not hear her. And I looked at her and I said, "You try it and you're going to get my salad fork right in your face."
Do you see what I mean?
Oh, my goodness.
Dare she say, there's another phrase I hate, age appropriate.
Oh, yes.
I can't stand that one. I can't stand when someone says, "Well, you need to dress more age appropriate."
Well, then, okay, so then what do you do when you see a grown woman, maybe 70 years old, who is wearing like a little tutu and a tight...
See, you're making just a bad taste.
Right, so that's right. So you drop it because
drop
that's
it.
Her business.
That's
but
her.
You don't, yeah.
Yeah. She's just not, she has bad taste,
right.
you know.
Yes.
And I'm not going to go around with the,
right.
the little thing. But then there's other things that.
But it's not your business anyway.
Right,
yeah.
right. But if you want to wear high top Skechers and pink, wear them.
Right, exactly.
You know, those
yeah.
kinds of things.
Oh, thank you. Okay,
I could
go
so
on for
much,
hours
Jen,
with you.
And
over a lifetime, we will go on for hours.
We will.
Thank you, honey, for
You're my
doing this.
Forever.
Yes.
And I really mean it. This is wonderful.
I know you do.
Thank you
Me
so
too.
Much.
I'm so glad we found each other again
Me
in life.
That
40 years that we didn't see each other while we were ripening was just perfect.
Well, I told somebody lately, I can't remember who it was, I said, Janet's not only fabulous.
Oh.
No, and ageless, by the way, and gorgeous. She's doing something important.
Thank
She's getting
you.
Our yeah. voices out there.
Oh, thank you. I like doing that. Okay. Well,
this is extremely important.
I think so.
And can I tell you, am I still... Yeah.
Okay, so well, let's just say goodbye for now because we're
oh,
a little
okay.
out of time.
Okay.
And come back for another something that you want to talk
we'll
about.
We'll come back after maybe the age march.
Oh, yes,
see
and do a wrap-up.
Kind of impact
yes, do
made.
A little... Post-mortem. Perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
Although nobody's going to be mortem, but we'll just do a post. Yes.
Yeah, I would
okay.
love that,
Thank
Janet.
You for doing this. Well,
Thank you.
Until next time, this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye. And please remember that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, that, first of all, writing a love letter is a special occasion, and you've always got someone to write to. I love this, writing to your adversities. Dear pain. Yes. Okay. I'll be eager to see this. All right, darling. Goodbye, everybody.